Skonkwa Agunghana Dikteruga, I'm of the Gokyel Skigwe clan in the Haida Nation. The Skidarans Ravens. My trading name is James McGuire. I work with the Haida Gwaii Museum as a in collections and repatriation and all sorts of different things. And on top of that, I often work in communications with the Haida Gwaii Museum. So yeah, here I am communicating.
Yeah, that's right. A man of many Blue Jays hats.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you tell our listeners what Dajin Geets means?
Dajin Geets is, if you can imagine, if you can picture a Haida walking through the forest and the hat that they might wear, you know, that like woven cedar hat or, you know, dance hat that you picture when you think of the Haida culture and Haida people, that very specific shape of a hat. Do you know what I mean?
Like
domed out kind of triangle woven cedar hat or spruce root hat. Dodging geets, that's what that is. Yeah, it's a dance hat. So the village is named Dodging Geets Ilmagai. So that just means dance hat town.
How do you feel about this move to change the town name of Queen Charlotte back to Dodging Geets?
From the Haida perspective, I'm encouraged about it for sure. I'm encouraged about the amount of people from the settler community that want to make that change to make things right. Dajin Geets Ilmagai is a very ancient village in that sits directly inside the township that is being spoken about, right? So, and it's actually the community hall inside Dajin Geets, the community hall for the settler community there, sits right on top of where the chief's big house was.
Wow.
In that village. And when they were creating the parking lot, and digging somewhere to step up, some of the remains came out of there from the people that occupied that village. So, you know, the effort to acknowledge that history and to acknowledge the rightful kind of hereditary leadership of that town is important and encouraging. I wouldn't say that it's unanimous in the community members, though. So there are some hyper discouraging conversations happening around the name change, you know, and that can be quite traumatic to listen to from a Haida perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that this is an early step leading to more meaningful reconciliation, or does this feel almost like performatory and you fear almost like it'll end here and the settlers will be like, we've done our job?
I would say from an Indigenous perspective, the word reconciliation doesn't mean what it once did. Mm. You know, I have a phrase, reconciling died at the end of a gun. Mm. And we've witnessed colonial empires dragging women out of their territories in the name of resource expansion and destruction through grave sites and traditional territories and title lands. Right. So for us, reconciliation holds a place name in a racist empire. It's not something that we speak about in a lightful way. I think that what we need to look for is within our own communities. We need to think more about community bridge building on a human to human basis. Right. And realize that one kind of controlling empire has inflicted doom, gloom, and genocide upon the other one. And there's a phrase, I'm not going to say it in Haida, but there's a phrase in the Haida language that pretty much translates to Raven always sets things right. And so if a wrong has been done, it has to be made right before we can move forward in synergy. Right. So we're not, I don't think we're there on a community to community basis with our settler neighbors where we can move forward in synergy, you know, together into a new world. There's a lot of work to be done. And so recognizing and understanding Indigenous languages, Indigenous place names is a step towards that. I wouldn't say that it's a final stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very simple thing that can be done to help inform the intentions to make things right.
So the currently now known as Queen Charlotte office is going to announce the decision May 3rd. So they're doing their final council meeting. And what do you think the outcome will be? And what's, I guess, the pulse of the community if you have that information?
I spent a lot of time there. My mother has a house uptown. I think on a personal basis with many of my peers, there's of course a favorable momentum, but there is a loud, what I perceive as a loud minority of a very stagnant thought that is putting up large roadblocks in front of this, what I think should be quite an easy thing to do. I think it's when you explore the history of even the name Queen Charlotte and who that person was, that was literally the queen that was sitting in proxy to the crown as the royal proclamation that dictated the rules like the Potlatch Ban Indian Act and set forth the pavement for things like residential schools and things that made the language being used in the name Dajingi, it's illegal to even speak, right? So that was Queen Charlotte was the queen on the throne at that time, alongside, I think, was it King George? I can't remember, who was kind of a madman anyway. But anyway, so imagine that's what we're being reminded of every time, and maybe not consciously on behalf of every Haida citizen, we're not thinking about that, but that's there. It's there that history's in the underlying surface. But just under the surface, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, attaching ourselves to these names is without fully understanding, you know, just for whatever reason you're doing is, I would say, ill-informed, but also just a needless behavior.
Yeah, holding on to something because it's how you've always known it to be, or because I said so, basically, is never a very convincing argument.
It's not, especially when you're talking to Indigenous people who have been in that area for 14,000 plus years.
That's right.
So the name, the Haida language being a language isolate, you get a language isolate by being isolated as a community for longer than 10,000 years. That's how you get a language isolate. And the Haida language is classified as a language isolate. There's no languages like it in the world. And there's less than probably 20 fluent speakers in the dialect that would dictate the way that you pronounce Dajingits, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the words and when you're a people from a place longer than 14,000 years, and your language is a language isolate, every word in that language came from the territory, and it came from the phenomena that dictated the creation of the landscape around you, right? So, you know, let's talk about, you know, if you're very attached to the name Queen Charlotte it's a name that you've spoken about it or have spoken about the community in a time frame of 100 years, well, you know, the name Dajingits could have origins as far back as the first time somebody ever wove a hat.
Yeah.
Which could be cedar came to Haida Gwaii about 6,000 years ago. Now, you know, it could take you maybe 1,000 years before you started weaving it, but you know what I mean? So the origins of this, of that, and the hat Dajingits doesn't mean necessarily cedar hat, it's that type of hat. So spruce root could be much older than that. So mm-hmm. you imagine the age of the word Dajingits. It's almost unfathomable that, you know, that word could have come about older than the pyramids.
Well, yeah.
So are we attached to Queen Charlotte? Well, imagine how attached we are to the name Dajingits on the guy.
Yeah. I had read as well that it sort of means like keeping the rain away. Is that true? Is there kind of a
Well, you can imagine what the purpose of a hat. So the Haida, nothing is entirely linear in translation in the Haida language, but it is quite literal.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's describing a situation as an item. Yeah, it can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not an expert on the Haida language, I'll tell you that much. But the people who did request this are literally the Haida language holders.
Yeah.
The initial requests came from the elders who are working to keep our language alive. And then the broader Haida community backed up that request with official requests from the Council of the Haida Nation and its people.
Yeah. What does it feed in you when you do speak and you're around the Haida language?
You know, I listening, there's so, like, I'm a native language English speaker. I've come from a colonized generation of Indigenous people who grew up through a colonized school system in a time raised by, you know, generations of people that went to day school and residential school, and our parents' generation were told that it was wrong to speak our language, and even their parents' generation was told that too, right? And so the thing is I'm trying to use the English language to describe phenomena and history in my territory that doesn't completely encompass the way that the Haida language dictates Haida thought. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So like, I can't think in Haida, therefore it's really hard for me to adapt my mind sometimes to the way I should be existing with and amongst my territory.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it there's a lot of pain that happens when I'm listening to it, and I find situations that I can't quite understand, but then there's a lot of joy when I learn the Haida name for something and it clicks an understanding in my brain that I previously could not have reached by trying to just like learn about a phenomena or an object or a place or that takes place in my territory in the English language. That sometimes it just takes one Haida word to describe, you know, an encyclopedia,
right,
of things.
I really don't want to take up much more of your time because you've been so generous with it already. And so I'm very appreciative of your time today, and hope that you are able to enjoy that pool for a little bit and find your way back to Haida Gwaii.
Yeah. Yeah, you could say it in Haida language. You could say just hawa.
Hawa, hawa indeed.
I would say anga, which is just an acknowledgement of your thanks.